Hello, welcome to the self-learning platform by Dr. Sushma Singh. Today we start Unit 15, Fisher-Paykel Movements. Let us have introduction about the unit. Unlike other social groups, the collective actions of the Fisher-Paykels have generally gone unnoticed in the academic discourse. This perhaps is due to the fact the collective actions by the Fisher-Paykels themselves have been relatively less in number than those of other groups. However, their problems have been raised by political parties, civil society organizations, and church leaders. But this has been mainly in terms of demanding relief to the Fisher-Paykels who suffered due to the natural disasters like tsunami. Nevertheless, there are examples of the collective actions of the Fisher-Paykels which can be categorized as the social movements of the Fisher-Paykels. In this unit, we will discuss their social movements. The unit will specifically focus on socio-economic conditions of Fisher-Paykels. Their issues, problems, and collective actions with reference to two examples, that is Fisher-Paykels movements in Kerala and Orissa. Now let us discuss socio-economic profile. First is heterogeneity. Fisher-Paykels nearly 12 million form a large section of the Indian population. They contribute enormously to the economy of the country, especially the states situated along the coastlines, that is Tamil Nadu, Kerala, Andhra Pradesh, Orissa, West Bengal, Goa, Andaman Nicobar, Pondicherry, Maharashtra, Gujarat, etc. Involved in the fisheries, catching, selling, processing and marketing fish for centuries, Fisher-Paykels provide fish which form the staple of the people living in the coastal states and also non-vegetarian population living in other states than those of the coastal regions. They also link Indian economy to the world economy through the export of the marine products. Fisher-Paykels are not homogeneous groups. They follow multiple religions. A large number of them belong to the low caste. Apart from the coastal regions, they are also found in other areas of the country involved in fisheries, ponds, and big tanks. Largely, Fisher-Paykels belong to the vulnerable groups of the society. Professor John Kurian argues that in some area of Tamil Nadu like Nagapattinam, fishing community is not poor, and generally they are better off than many other social groups. In three decades of the last century, there has been a considerable movement in their economic conditions, but they remain outliner in cultural, social and political terms. Besides the division among them on religious and caste basis, they are stratified on the basis of the ownership of vessels and employment of labor. On these bases, the Fisher-Paykels can be divided into three groups. Fisher-Paykels who own vessels and work with their families. Second, those who own these and employ other Fisher-Paykels. They include film stars, politicians, and other wealthy peoples. And third, those who do not own them but work in others' vehicles. The number of fisher folks who own vehicle is very small. Besides, majority of them own ordinary vessels which are traditional and of poor quality. Those who employ other own trawler and big boats, better quality and modern vessels. The fishing activities depend on the weather conditions, which are mostly hostile. During the period of unfavorable weather conditions, the fisher folks get engaged in odd jobs on the harbors. Next point is dependence on others. Fisher folks depend on a large number of people. The latter include intermediaries who work as the agents of traders, moneylenders, non-fisher folks, owners of trawlers and big boats. The fisher folks do not have direct access to the market. They sell their catch to the intermediaries or the agents, who in turn sell them to the traders. The intermediaries take their commission, and the fisher folks do not get the fair price of their catch. Their earnings are not enough to meet their basic needs, which include the items of daily needs and the purchase of boats, catamarans, mechanized boats, nets, catamarans fitted with the motors, etc. This forces them to borrow from the intermediaries, traders, or the employers on the adverse terms and conditions. Thus, intermediaries, merchants, non-fisher folks, and the richer fisher folks, owners of big boats, also work as moneylenders. Generally, fisher folks borrow advance from the moneylenders. As one of the conditions, the catch would be given to the trader come money lenders at the price fixed by the latter. Also, the traders capture the catch from the boats and fix the prices after these have been sold. Although the entire family of a fisher folk is involved in the fisheries, it is the woman who are the worst affected by the intervention of the rich merchants and traders. Next point is victims of natural disaster. Their close habitat and dependence on sea for the fisheries exposes the fisher folks to natural disasters like flood, typhoon, and tsunami. These natural disasters affect the fisher folks the most. They are deprived of their houses, vessels, and lives. The super cyclone in Orissa in 1999 had affected the fisher folks there. The tsunami of December 26, 2004, which affected the coastal region of South Asia and Southeast Asia, had the devastating impact on residents and tourists of these regions. But these were the fisher folks as a single group which was affected by a tsunami. If not only killed many of them and destroyed their vessels and residences, it disturbed their centuries-old faith in the sea. It created fear, psychos about the sea among the fisher folks. Now the next point is mechanization, globalization, and fisher folks. Traditionally, fishing was carried out by small, unpowered craft confined to shallow waters. Mechanization began with the Indo-Norwegian project in 1953, whereby mechanized fishing equipment were permitted to catch fish indiscriminately with the aim to increase the fish catches and augmented the production of shrimps. Increasing demand for shrimps from advanced countries like Japan and USA created a further impetus to intensify fishing with the use of bottom trawlers. This not only led to dwindling of fish stocks, but the traditional fishermen who were unable to afford mechanized fishing equipments began to face livelihood problems as the coastal fishing belt was captured by resourceful non-fishermen. The government also gave active support to private groups through preferential credit schemes. The beneficiaries of the new schemes were affluent traditional fishermen who had turned entrepreneurs and non-fishermen with resources. The impact of technological change in an already fragile ecological zone resulted in a decline in the fish stocks and a subsequent drop in the income of traditional fishermen. The non-fisher folks were further encouraged to dominate fisheries in the 1990s in the light of globalization. As we will study in subsection, the Tata House had attempted to set up the shrimp farming in Chilika Lake in Orissa, which not only displaced the fisher folks but also created the environmental hazards. Again, the P.V. Narasimha Rao government introduced modern technology in the fisheries as a part of liberalization policy. Next topic is issues, leadership and organizations. First is issues. The principal issues or demand on which could be collective actions of fisher folks are organized are participation of the fisher folks in fisheries and fishery management, sale and processing of harnessed catches, opposition to the introduction of trawlers, resource allocation and management of fisheries, providing catamarans, boats, loans, and grants. Rehabilitation in case of the natural disasters. Exploitation by the agents, traders, and moneylenders. Others, problems arising out of bilateral relations between neighboring countries. Sri Lanka, Bangladesh and Pakistan, which include arrest of fisher folks while fishing, as they are not able to identify the demarcation of the sea line between the India and these countries. Next is leadership. Leadership to the fisher folks movement in South India is provided by the church fathers, nuns, intellectual academic activists, student social activists, professional social workers, community organizers, social and physical scientists. Many of them belong to the fisher folk communities. They work in league with NGOs concerned with the socio-economic and ecological issues. Most important among them are Father Thomas Cochery, Father Puthuvedi, Father Paul Arakal, Father Albert Parisivilla, Father Peter D. Cruz. They organized the fisher folk in Kerala on several occasions. Professor John Kurian is known to have provided leadership to the fisher folks as an intellectual academic activist. The leadership operates at two levels, local and national. Some of the regional levels landers have graduated to the status of national level leaders of fisher folks. For example, Father Thomas Cochrane, a Redemptorist priest and the most traveling leader of fisher folks movement of the 1980s, started his political activities in Trivandrum district, and he rose to the status of All India level leader in the 1990s. Within due course of the joining the movement, Cochrane took control of the NFF, National Fishermen's Forum. It disappointed the earlier generation of clergy and bishops. They organized the Kerala Catholic Bishop Conference in Kottayam. Cochrane belonged to the radical leadership, and following his joining of the ASKMFTF, Akhil Kerala Swatantra Masiya Thozhili Federation, or the All Kerala Independent Fishermen's Federation. The organization was split in 1983. The two groups of the ASKMTF were led by Father Cochrane and Father Ferry Sevilla separately. The group led by Father Ferry Sevilla was considered loyalist to the Congress by Father Cochrane group. The latter held that the group of Father Ferry Sevilla was formed at the instance of the Congress, which was partner in United Democratic Front, led by K. Karunakaran. The split in the ASKMTF had impact on the affairs of church. Father Cochrane was transferred from his parish to Kerala. The older generation accused Father Cochrane of being in league with the communist and attacked liberation theology, which the latter adhered to. A large number of leaders of the fisher folks were influenced by the ideology of liberal theology, which sought an alliance between Marxism and Christianity in order to liberate the mankind from the miseries of life. Next topic is organizations. First attempt to form fisher folks organizations at village, state and national levels in India were made in the 1960s and 1970s. The earliest union was formed in 1963 in Quilayan district in Kerala. By the 1980s, the unions were formed in Alappi, Cochin, Trivandrum, and Malabar districts. In Kerala, there was a direct link between Roman Catholic Church and the leader of these organizations, but it was only in the 1980s and 1990s that these organizations mobilized fisher folks into a movement. There were fisher folks unions in other coastal states like Tamil Nadu, Gujarat, Andhra Pradesh, and West Bengal. But it was in Kerala where they were most assertive and articulate. The most significant folks union in Kerala was Kerala Swatantrata मलसाया रिजोली फेडरेशन KSMTF और केरला इंडिपेंडेंट फिशर वर्कर्स फेडरेशन। इट वाज एन अपोलिटिकल ऑर्गेनाइजेशन इन दैट इट वाज नॉट एफिलिएटेड टू एनी पॉलिटिकल पार्टी। In 1977, several district level unions merged together to form Kela Latin Catholica Malaysia Clergy Federation, KLCFF, was formed. Its state level leadership was principally a cleric leadership, though there were non-cleric leaders also. In order to seek support from the Muslim and Hindu fisher folks, it changed its name to Akhil Kerala Swatantrata Malaysia Theology Federation, AKSMTF. The All Kerala Independent Fishermen's Federation. In 1978, fisher folks unions of Goa, Tamil Nadu, Kerala, and other states formed a confederation which came to be called as the National Fishermen's Forum, NFF. Here we want to wind up this lecture. Thank you so much for your attention.